Excellent, Shafir. Who's going on? It's your boy Malumi YouTube, and welcome back to a brand new episode of Seated with Malumi. Now, today, I'm telling you guys about my TB journey and pretty much how I cried for days thinking that I was going to die. So now the story dates back all the way back to university. Now, I was someone who always reacted to stress with their body, right? I'm failing a module, I get flu. A girl breaks my heart, I get cold sweat. So my body's always reacted when I was not okay. And this time, I just felt something different. So I'm in a happy relationship, dating this girl for about a year and a half now. Things are moving really smoothly, and she's basically my pillar. So I'd call her, I'm like, yo, baby, can you please come? I'm really not feeling too grand. So now she comes over and she's like, yo, what's going on? What's wrong? Then I'm like, no, every single time I breathe and take a deep breath, I feel so much pain. When I sleep at night, I get cold shivers and I'm not okay. So obviously we're thinking, okay, cool, university stress, might be flu. Let me not concern my parents just yet about it because we really don't know what's happening. So now we go, we get the normal medication for cold sweats, we get medication for fever, medication for all things that make sense. And eventually I get better. 2 weeks go past. I'm doing school. School's going really well. Relationship is booming. I think I was boyfriend of the year once again. One thing about me, guys, I am a lover boy. So now I get sick again. And I'm like, no, you know what? I tried doing the medication myself. It's not working. Let me try go to the doctor and try find out what the hell is happening with my body. Because I can't be sick. But this time I was like, you know what? Let me call moms. You know when you call your mom when you're sick, that really means, I don't know. It's just ooh, cool, 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 cool. Because one thing I never want to do is stress my parents about something that's not serious. So I'm like, yo, momzo, I'm going to go to the doctor. I'm not feeling so well. I've got these cold shivers. I can't sleep at night. I struggle to breathe. I've got like this piercing pain when I take a deep breath. I need medical assistance. She goes, my boy, go do that thing. So I went and did that thing. Get to the doctor, she's like, yo, what's wrong? I'm like, no, let me tell you my symptoms. She's checking everything, blood pressure, injections, taking my blood. She's checking my teeth, my mouth. She's feeling me everywhere. Is it so when you do this? And she goes, no, I think you just have an infection. I'm like, you sure? She goes, yeah, trust me. I think it's just an infection, but if it keeps happening, come back. But for now, take these meds. I take meds. 2 weeks go past again. Your boy is feeling healthy. I'm feeling immaculate. I'm feeling vavavon. But sadly, after some time, I get sick again. So I go back to the same doctor because I believe that doctors always like test you out and tell you what they think is wrong. They might be wrong, but then going back to the same doctor is good because they can obviously build up based off of the history they've done with you. Because she did all these tests with me. So I'm like, you know what, doc? I'm not grand. I think it's time for us to do like more tests. And she goes, okay, cool. You know what? Let's do some x-rays and let me just listen to your heartbeats and everything. Now she tells me to take a deep breath in. So I'm there. She goes, take another deep breath. She goes, this wasn't here earlier. Then I'm like, what do you mean? What wasn't here? She goes, no, I'm hearing liquids surrounding your lungs. I said, you're hearing what? Surrounding my what? I'm like, are the liquids normal? Like, can I just pee them out? She goes, no. This is not good. I'm going to need you to do some x-rays. So now she basically takes me to some other hospital. I do my x-rays. Now I'm panicking. I'm like, you know, what's wrong with me? They're like, nah, man, I'm sure I just have, you know, some light problems. I was even thinking, maybe it's all those damn hubblies I've been smoking that are killing me. You get me? So now I do the x-rays. I go back to the doctor. She goes, I was right. I'm going to need you to go see the specialist as soon as possible. So I'm like, girl, what do you mean? She goes, no, the x-rays are showing a lot of liquids around your lungs. Just go see this doc and then it should be good. I go to the doc. Mind you, I'm paying an arm and a leg and medical fees. I go see this doc. He goes, oh no, you have a little bit of liquids in your lungs. I can take that out. So I go, bro, I go to some room. They check me again, blood pressure, everything, bloods, all those things. Then they eventually say, nah, we can just drain the liquid. So they stick like a needle in like my back. And then they drain liquids. I think they drain like 2 liters, bro, or two to three liters of liquids that were around me. So she's like, damn, nigga, you got a lot of liquids inside of you. Then I'm like, mama, what you mean? Like, I don't know what that means. She goes, nah, don't worry. It's coming out. Mind you, I am sober, no anesthetic. I am just there sitting on a chair and I am being drained. I felt like I was being like prepared for a sacrifice, bro. Cool, liquids come out. Now they're like, oh, we found the problem. Everything is good. Go back to school. School is trapping me. Relationship still going healthy and good. You know, shout out to my, you know what I'm talking about? Everything is good. She's there every single step of the way with me. My mom goes, now we found the cure. Don't worry. Now, a lot of people in my family were thinking that I was coming up with excuses because it was exam season soon. So they're thinking, did this boy fail again? Is he trying to like avoid his exams and stuff? Then I'm just like, guys, I'm passing. I'm actually passing. I'm just not feeling grand. And they just, they're like, bro, we've seen this before. And this is because, guys, it's my fault. Back in the day, back in high school days, primary school days, I think we all did. I used to fake being sick all the time to try and miss out on going to school. I used to get a warm cloth and put it on my forehead. My mom would come check me. She'd be like, oh, hey, my feet, are you going to check my neck? Make sure that cloth touched my neck too. And she'd be like, damn, boy, you're hot. You get me? So now it all caught up to me because no one believed me that I was genuinely sick. So now after, you know, this time it was like about a month. It's almost exam season. I've got like 2-3 weeks until my exams. I feel sick again with the exact same symptoms. So now I go back to the same doctor. I'm like, doc, I hate to be here. I'm missing classes, but I can't sleep at night. The cold rushes, whatever, cold sweats are getting worse. I genuinely cannot breathe to save my life. And everything is painful. I get dizzy within walking 15 seconds. I stand up and I have to sit down immediately. I think I'm dying, doc. She goes, no. Let's do some more tests. Do the x-rays. The liquids are back. So she's like, you know what? You need an expert, someone that who knows these things to a certain extent. I think they're called specialists. So I go to another specialist. And this guy's a specialist. He specializes in specializing specialists on Twitter. So he's the real deal. He sits me down. He goes, boy. I'm like, yes, sir. He goes, I'm going to be 100% with you. I've seen your file. There's two cases. Either one, you have cancer, or two, you have TB. And if you have TB, you have to do a 6-month treatment. But it's looking like cancer. I say, boy. I said, doc, it's looking like what? He goes, it's looking like cancer. But I just want to tell you everything that's potentially happened. But this is what's happening. So we need to schedule a biopsy. So they have to basically cut me open and check what's happening. And then obviously study and analyze all those things. So now I get into my car. Mind you, back in the day, my dad gave me like a really lit car. So I'm there. It's cruising. BM boys. So now I'm driving. Then I'm like, hey, I'm sick, yo. Then I'm like, yo, what happens if I have cancer? I'm like, yo, my girlfriend. Yo, my brother. My mom. What happens if I die? Now I'll never forget this day. I'm driving. I'm close to the University of Pretoria. I think it's called the engineering building. Get to the engineering building, bro. I park on the side. I start bawling my eyes out. I am crying. I am crying and crying and crying. I'm like, yo, my life is over. Mind you, I believe in like never react until you have the final verdict. But in this instance, bro, I've been sick for months. We've drained liquids. We've done x-rays. I'm told I've got cancer or TB. Not, it's just flu. They're not saying you have flu. They're saying, my boy, you might be outro. You might be saying RIP. So you know what I did? I cried. I got back into my car. I just take a step. I drove to my apartment. Bro, I wrote a will. Bro, that day I wrote a will. I said, I have in my account right now, 3,300. In my investments, I have about 8,000. I have a Canon M50 and I have a YouTube channel. I have this and that and I have a car and I have these clothes. So I want my clothes to go to this charity. I want my brother to get my YouTube channel. I want my money to go to my mom and my dad. It's not much money, but maybe they can use it for my funeral. I'm writing goodbye letters. I'm saying to my sister, you must succeed in life. Excel for me. Push for me. My brother. I'm like, you know, like 13 Reasons Why before they kill themselves. Trigger warning, sorry. 13 Reasons Why, another show about suicide. I'm writing letters, taking videos for people around me to be like, yo, guys, I am outro. I have cancer, and I'm really going to miss each and every single one of you guys. I'm preparing for the worst. Now is the time for me to go and do this biopsy. I am scared out of my mind. I think my ex-girlfriend at the time, my girlfriend at the time came with me, and she drops me off. She's there every step of the way with me. My brother's there every single step of the way with me. And now it's time for them to leave because obviously I have to go do this operation. They say, Tato, we won't lie to you. This operation is going to be one of the most painful things you've ever gone through. You will be under anesthetic. You will be passed out. But it is going to be extremely painful afterwards. And it's not going to be a pleasant experience. Cool. I'm like, nah, I can deal with a little bit of pain. Just tell me what stage of cancer I have so I know how many days I have left to live, bro. It's so funny. So now I get into the bed. The hands talking me through. It's going to be painful. Relax. Now they're pushing me. They go, the operations room is very cold. But you're going to be okay. So now she pushes me to the room. Cool. I wait like 15 minutes. Eventually, the doctor comes like, hey, Tata, how you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm good. I mean, this guy's in a good mood. If he's in a good mood, I won't die. Like, he's going to take care of me. He's confident. Like, yeah, this operation's always go smoothly. It's just a simple biopsy. Obviously, you never know about the complications that can happen in a surgery room. But, you know, you're with professionals and we got you. I'm there like, this guy just told me that I might die. That's all I heard. I heard, we got this, but you might die because we might not got this. But we got this. So I'm just thinking about the worst. I am having a panic attack, and they can see this. Like, Tata, we need you to relax before we start anything. You're healthy. We've checked you everything, but we need to make sure that you're relaxed. So now they put this thing over my into my nose, and I think they give me some injections. They go, you're gonna count from 10 backwards or from 30 backwards. I think it was 20, from 20 backwards. So I'm there 20, 19. Like, can you feel anything? I'm like, no. I'm like 18, 17, 16. Can you feel anything? I'm like, doc, I don't feel shit. 10, 9. How about now? I'm like, dog, I'm like, why is there two of you? It's like, yo, what's... I have no memory of being under. I have... You know, people say usually they go under operation, they sleep, they have the dream, or they meet God. I didn't meet God. I didn't have no dreams. I was just chilling unconscious. I wake up. I want to wake up. I'm in a different room. I'm in ICU. And the doctor's there. And she goes, hi, Tato. I'm like, hi. Oh, dude, as I speak, pain is hitting my side like it's never hit my side before. I am in so much pain. I have tears in my eyes. I'm like, what is happening? They go, no, Tato, before the thing, what did they tell you to do? I'm like, oh, before my operation, they said if I feel pain, I must press this button and it's going to shoot in like pain relievers, painkillers to kill my pain. I'm pressing this thing, nothing, bro. I grab the nurse by the shoulder. I'm like, help me get out of this pain before I die. So she's there like, you're overreacting. I'm like, I'm not. So now everyone's saying, okay, no, this guy is genuinely having a panic attack. He's in a lot of pain and he's not okay. So what do? They literally say, okay, cool. Nurse Mang, come. Bro, they close my curtains. They put me on my side. They like give me something to like injections. Then she goes, Tato, I need you to take a deep breath in and then relax. I take a deep breath. She goes, relax. As I relax, bro, she literally pushes a pull up my booty, bro. I felt so violated. Imagine you are a grown ass man in ICU crying for pain. You just did an operation, sure. You don't know what's happening and you're just crying in pain. And they pop a pull up your ass. Obviously, after that, I've just been embarrassed. This hand has been within my booty cheeks. And I'm like, what is happening? But I feel so much better within minutes. So now I'm finally relieved. I'm like, okay, cool. Mind you, nobody has told me what I have. I'm thinking, no, this is still going to take maybe 12 hours to process everything. I don't know how long I've been sleeping for. I don't have my cell phone. No family members. I'm like, can I please get my mom or my dad in here? Like, I really need to speak to them. She was okay, cool. First, take these 6 pills. So I'm there like, yo, what are these pills for? I'm tired of taking pills. I'm tired of drawing blood. I'm tired of being here. I'm tired of being sick. I have exams soon. Mind you, the doctor said, like, Tato, after your ICU, after your operation, you can still study. So I took no sick tests. I took nothing. I was studying literally 5 hours within this incident happening in ICU. My parents come. They're like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, I'm good. I'm just in so much pain, but it's getting better. I'm getting used to the pain. By the way, like, there are so many tubes in me. There's like 2 tubes in me. One is just draining liquids, and the other one is like, I don't know, I can't remember. Oh, the other one, although this one is draining liquids, the other one is just like a bandage and stitching over my open lung surgery. So now I'm there, like, Papa, yo, I'm so scared. I don't know what they're gonna tell me. Like, the doctor said I might have cancer. I don't know what's going on. He goes, oh, we know what's wrong with you. So now I freeze because he said, we know what's wrong with you. I freeze. I start crying. I'm like, I have cancer. Don't die. He's like, what? Cancer? I'm like, I have cancer. I'm like, yo. I'm like, in my room, in my drawer. He's like, dude. I'm like, in my room, in my drawer. I've got this. He's like, dude, relax. You have TB. Then I'm there like, bro. And I want you guys to understand. This doctor said if I have TB, I have to take medication for 6 months. But TB is curable and treatable. So I hear you have TB. I basically heard God has put his hand over your palm, over your forehead, and blessed you, and you don't have cancer. So I said, I have TB. Like, yeah, you don't have cancer, you have TB. I'm like, TB? Bro, did I not scream, yes, woo? The heaven is just there like, that's a weird response to hearing that you have TB. And I'm there like, bro, I was told I might have cancer or TB. So personally, right now, I am very happy to be having tuberculosis, bro. Put that TB in my veins. So now after that, I'm in ICU for like 2-3 more days. Then I go to a normal doctor's room. Mind you, I am studying throughout for this entire, like, for my exams. I've got my notes there. I'm watching videos. I'm pushing through because I have to get a degree. Even my friends are coming to me like, bro, we're not even studying this much. I'm like, yo, I've always been told that me being sick is an excuse. This can't be an excuse. I can't add another year. I have to pass. Girlfriend's there the whole way. Lucas, Claddy, visiting me consistently. My brother's there holding my hand throughout everything, making sure I'm grand. Eventually, I get prescribed medication. I'm taking 6 pills a day for the first 2 months. It goes down to 4 pills, but I am taking pills every single day. And I'm just getting sad about it, you know? Because, like, now I have to take these pills. Eventually, like, it's like I'm healing, but eventually it gets boring. Like, yo, I'm sick. I have TB. And it put me in quite a depressive state for a couple of weeks, but eventually I bounced back because of all the support that I had. And I actually did do a sick test for the one paper because I went into it to write it, and then from there, my bandages started leaking, so I had to be rushed out. And I'll never forget this moment in time because I just saw the importance of just having really good family, having friends around you in your times of need. Which is why, like, with me now, whenever my friends need me, I always make sure that I'm there, because you never really know what someone's going through. You never know where their minds are. I had written letters saying goodbye to so many of my friends and family. And throughout the whole process, they were there. I could hear their voices. I could feel and I was just embodied by their love. And it took me so far. Which is why I'm going to keep this one, like, nice and short. I just want to say, guys, people around you, like, be very careful who you choose around you. I had the most amazing girlfriend at the time. I had the most amazing little brother. I had the most amazing mother, amazing family members, amazing friends, studying Lucas. Everyone was just making sure that I'm going through this. Matiko too. Everyone was just there for me. And it's just so important and beautiful. I just want to say shout out for watching, listening to this podcast. I appreciate you guys. If you guys do not know, we have launched channel memberships for my channel because we're trying to get funding for our YouTube then looking from doing a whole bunch of shows. If you guys become channel members of my... you get to choose the cast members for my shows. You get to choose the locations, the cities we shoot in. You get exclusive content before it comes out. You get to see behind the scenes, how I shoot my productions, and you get to meet my team. A whole bunch of lives. So yeah, man, thank you for listening to me, and I really want to give you guys so much content this year. I'm trying to be as consistent as possible. And a big shout out to all the streaming platforms which we have the podcast on. Big shout out to Spotify because they are holding us down. So big shout out to you guys. Catch us on Spotify and every other streaming podcast. It's you.